Let me read. We're going to read two verses in 11:6 and 11:7 of the book of Hebrews, and very popular passages. And it says that without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Right, and that's a message in itself, right there. But it's all about faith. This is, as we know, it's Hebrews 11 is referred to as the faith chapter. And so it's talking about faith, the importance of faith. And so that's where we're anchored, right? And Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And the next chapter tells us that. But then it goes on, verse 7 says, and concerning faith, it says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. So God help us as we look into your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so this morning, I'm talking about moving forward, building futures. But this morning, it's about an early example for a latter day. And this was Noah was before the flood, an antediluvian saint, right? And an ancient saint, and here we are now in the latter days. Noah shows up in Genesis, and here we are. We're living in Revelation. Y'all realize? I mean, we're right at the end. We're here at the coming of the Lord, and so Noah's an ancient saint of God. But what he did, what he modeled, is an example for all of us. And it was one of my favorite subjects, one of my favorite persons that my pastor would always refer to, and people would almost mock him in a sense, because he loved to talk about old Noah and getting his family in. But can you think of a subject that would be any more important than that, right? And so we're going to look at Noah this morning, and I want to look at the three things that show up there when it talks about Noah's faith. It talks about fear, and it talks about family. All right, you got it? Faith, say it with me. Faith, fear, family. And so we're going to look at those three things this morning as we talk about building futures. And so when we look at Noah, we need to realize the first thing we see here is faith. By faith, say by faith. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you see it, then it can't be faith, right? If it's already carried out, then it's already happened. It doesn't require faith. Faith happens before the event. It happens before something is seen, before something is known, okay? And so you believe in something that's not yet happened or not yet existed, and so that's faith. So Noah had faith, and his name appears in this book, this faith chapter, for one reason. Because of his faith, right? That's why he's here. And so Noah's faith, there's some things about I want to look at this morning about Noah's faith. And that is, first of all, that Noah's faith was endearing. He had endearing faith. And it was this, in 6:8 of Genesis, it says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It was Noah's faith that stood out. It was his faith in God. And in a world filled with darkness, God still saw one man. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God sees the world, sees us all individually, right? I go back and remember the time when Lucifer, Satan, showed up before the Lord, and the Lord questioned him and said, what have you been doing? He said, I've been going throughout all the earth. You see, Satan can only be at one place at one time. And the Lord says, have you considered my servant Job? Because God on his throne sees everybody, knows everybody, and knows everything that's going on, right? And here we see that as God has looked out, it's a very difficult time. It's a dark hour. We realize that at this moment that God's getting ready, he's forced to bring judgment. How many want justice? You expect things, if there's a wrong, you expect it to be made right. Yeah, we're all people of justice. When God's a God of justice, he can't, to depart from that would mean he's no longer God. And so he can't do that. He's a just and loving God. And so the world had reached a point of no return. And in fact, it made God's heart sorry that he had made man. and he's getting ready. He's having to bring judgment on the world. The world had crossed a line that just you can't go back from, and judgment was imminent, and so God was going to have to act. And as he looks, he notices Noah. Noah found grace or found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It is true that a saint of God, that our life shines. That it is we reflect God and it's noticed and you can't help it. It's like turning the lights off in this room and just one small candlelight will show up. And folks, God notices. And can I tell you, the world notices too, right? And so isn't that our desire, that we want God to look at us and say, I see that person's life as being beautiful. That person's life delights me. And that God speaks favorably of us and notices our faith, right? I mean, there's no higher testimony that we could ever have than that, that God honors our life and that he characterizes us as righteous. And so because of Noah's life, it was his faith. He was seen as pleasant and beautiful before the Lord. And so notice, God said that. So Noah was not self-righteous. There might be some people that wouldn't think that way of themselves. He was not righteous in his own eyes, and God prevent us from any self-righteousness, yeah? But he was righteous in the eyes of the Lord. And so he was genuinely a just person. He was a lawful person. He was a morally pure person who had a heart after God. And God took notice. And it just stood out in contrast to the dark world. And then also this faith, and folks, we need to understand this, the importance of not only that God sees us that way, but you know what, that people around us notice. And I tell you what, if God notices it, I believe that they will as well. But how do you know your reputation in the community matters? Right? And it says Noah was blameless among the people of his time. And so the people of his time didn't find fault with him. Let me ask you, if we begin to do a survey and we begin to go around our community and go, what would people say about you? Would they say that there is that guy's the real deal? Now that lady, she loves Jesus. Or, boy, I don't know. Or if they get to the point where they say, well, bless her heart. You know, you never want to be on the end of a bless your heart statement, because it means you just need something badly. But what would people say about you? How many want and realize that we need to expect for people to speak positively about us if we're true followers of Christ? Amen. And so that's why it's important in everything we do. And in this world that's become so dark that there's really no accountability for righteousness, God's righteousness or holiness. But we ought to be honest. We ought to pay our bills on time. Amen. But we're in a world today, you see all kinds of businesses out there, no credit, no problem. God says, bad credit, we got a problem. Why? Because we're to reflect the God that we serve. Amen? And so we're to be responsible. We're to be just. We're to be fair. And we're to do the things that are right. And how many of you think that things, simple things like paying your bills is like right? Amen? And come on, y'all with me? You got quiet. I'm nervous a little bit. But no, I know you, right? We know that. We believe that. But I'm saying that how our reputation before people matters. And so, you know, we need to reflect that in the church. And so the Lord help us in doing that. But not only was Noah's faith endearing, but it was also enduring. It was an enduring faith. It was his faith that kept him in spite of the masses and in spite of the mess. You know, it's one thing. How many know that we could come into this church and you know, we dress nice. We just want to honor God, and we dress nicely, and we come in here. How many of you know that you feel clean? You know, you tidied yourself up. You look nice, right? You got clean clothes on, right? And you don't, and you're not looking around worried about, am I going to leave here soiled or stained? Am I going to get myself dirty? Why? Because it's clean in here. But we live, the fact is, we live in a dirty world. And you walk out and you go through the like the prodigal was, you take what you're wearing right now and you go out into the pig pen, or you go deal with the chickens with this clothes on, and then you're going to have to be careful because you're dealing with all kinds of mess. So it'd be one thing for Noah to have enduring faith in a place where everything's clean and nice and everybody's unified and together, but it was a whole other deal for Noah to endure in a place where the entire world was against him, where everybody was living differently. It's hard to stay clean in a pig pen. And just there's stuff everywhere. But Noah did it. He had an enduring faith. And because he walked with God, and that blessing of walking with the Lord enabled him and it helped him to endure and endure hardships, endure criticism. Don't you know that Noah was certainly criticized? To endure loneliness. I can't think of a person who lived in a more unfavorable surrounding at any time in history than Noah did. Think about it. It's literally, right, the entire world. Read it in Genesis chapter 6. The entire world, God's going to judge the one world, the whole world, and he notices one guy, one man. We talk about how blessed we are. It's great when we have a brother or sister that joins us, or, you know, even if it's at work, you know, it's great to have somebody there that we can chat with and share things with, that share the same values and same ideas, and we can pray together. How many glad for that, right? God help the man that, or the woman, has to stand alone. But Noah is in the entire world, and there's no other person standing with him. Can you imagine that? A lot on his shoulders, right? And so he had this enduring faith, but in standing alone. But his faith was also, it was an enabling faith. And it enabled him, for one, as we said, to find favor with God. And by finding favor with God, it enabled him to receive revelation from the Lord. And here's the thing, I mean, one of the blessings I pray we as a church don't take for granted is that we have the blessing and privilege to receive revelation from God. That God will speak to us, that he will show us things, amen, whether it's by a vision or whether it's by a dream. How many know that God still speaks to his people? We're praying for direction. We're praying for God's leading. And so Noah having favor with God enabled him to receive revelation from God. And because he received revelation from God, it enabled him to prepare for what God was about to do. So one thing led to another, right? And so when you walk with God, there is an enablement that comes with that you can have what other people don't have. You can see what other people don't see. Light is on. God's speaking to you. We have that privilege. Noah, he saw what no one else could see. He saw into the future. Let me just be clear about this. People's futures would be impacted. Their futures would be impacted by a present faith. And it's the same today. Let us take this in. Did you realize that your present faith will make a difference in the future of others? Your present faith will make a difference in the future of others. Right? As power. The whole thing that set this thing up, this whole story, was that Noah found favor with the Lord, that he had faith in God. And God was able to use that person's faith to bring about something wonderful, something good, to sustain life. And so I'm going to tell you, look at your neighbor and say, your faith matters. And it matters for you, it matters for your family, but it also matters for whomever God gives you influence over, whomever comes across your path, right? And so Noah is here, it's a sobering reality. And Noah here was asked to take on the biggest, to take the biggest faith step of his life. And so Noah's faith, we see his faith. So seeing what he saw, seeing into the future that God was going to bring a judgment and a flood into the world, all of a sudden there's a fear, right? There's a fear that comes over him. And it's a holy fear. The scripture says, and depends on what version you might be reading, but Noah was moved with godly fear. All right? He was moved with godly fear, or with reverent fear for what God was about to do. He was respecting the warning of the Lord. And so being moved with godly fear, he steps up to the plate. And he's so moved that he is willing to take on the task of building the ark. And that we know the story, the world tried to make this cutesy story. And for kids that might be appropriate, but how many know it's a very serious story? Right? Lives are at stake. And so Noah takes on this project of building the ark because God had laid upon his heart. And just out of the blue, folks, this wasn't a regular thing. It wasn't like, you got to realize, this wasn't, Pastor Chase, it wasn't like somebody, God was telling Noah, hey, listen, I need you to go plant a church. You know, because we say go plant a church, we can identify with that because churches are planted all the time. Right? And so we can connect with that. Okay, plant a church. All right. No, God says, hey, I want you to go, and I want you to go over here, and I want you to be a missionary to such and such nation. Okay, I get that, because we have all these examples and images of missionaries that have done that. No, none of those things. God says, I want you to go build an ark. A what? An ark. A what? An ark. Why? It doesn't make any sense. He has nothing to bring context to that, except what God has shown him, revealed to him about the future. And so Noah is taking on this massive project, a massive undertaking, and there was nothing like it ever before. And realize this is the beginning, church, the world's just getting going, and we're used to big things. There again, it's a different day, right? We're used to big things. You can go to big cities. Anybody been to any big city lately? New York, L.A., Houston, right? Been there? I mean, you know, the skyscrapers, you know, 100 stories tall. Big stuff, right? We've got massive ships and massive carriers and all of these things. They're huge. But in that day, there was no reason for anything to be that big. The communities weren't that big, so you didn't need those kinds of buildings. You certainly didn't need this kind of a ship. Did somebody say that? I mean, like, you know, just huge. So he's taking it on, and it's just, frankly, it's ridiculous. Dan was talking about, you know, God's people are just weird. And that would definitely make Noah weird. And you know, the Bible uses a different word. It says that God will have a peculiar people. He was a little bit nicer about it. Peculiar people. In other words, we're different. We stand out. This certainly made Noah different. And I want you to think about this. Just think about everything that had to happen, including your building. He's going to build this ship that is 450 feet long. It's over three times the length of a football field. It's 75 feet wide. It's 45 feet high. Okay, and he's going to take on this project. And so just how long, it's Noah and now his boys are big enough, just how long do you think it's going to take to build this? Think about it. There's no Home Depot. He can't go down there to Home Depot. He can't go to some lumber yard and say, hey, hook me up. I need so many beams and I need this and I need this and whatever, right? I mean, where is this stuff coming from? And hey, I'm building this ark. A what? An ark. I'm building, you know, he's got to explain to everybody he talks to and whatever. How's this going to happen? It's a massive project, and it's going to take a lot of time. We really don't know how much time. Some commentators say as much as 120 years. Others say it took at least several decades. We really don't know, but this we know. The scripture says that God waited patiently while the ark was being built. Now, I think that expresses it more than any specific time, because it took so long that the patience of an eternal God is even mentioned. Because no one's more patient than God is. I mean, day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day, but God waited patiently while the ark was being built. So I'm saying, and listen, this is all going to tie to you. You're going to be able to take this with you here this morning, all right? All right, so it's going to take a lot of time. That's a big investment of time, right? And so here we go. So a lot of time is involved, and it's also going to require a lot of resources. I mean, this stuff, it just isn't free. It just isn't going to show up, right? There's no government program just going to say, we're going to give you this. No, Noah is on his own building this structure, all right, about 95,700 square feet. And so it would take a lot of money. I looked it up in the currently here in America, not residential, but commercial properties are ranging anywhere from the low side, $240 per square feet, all the way up to $800 and some per square feet. So even with the lowest for the commercial cost, not shipbuilders, I don't know what they do. I don't know what it costs for them. But for a commercial building, at the lowest level, $240 per square feet equals up to about just under $100 million for Noah to build this ark that God just told him about, that's never been done before, that doesn't make any sense in the natural, and he's investing all this time, right, maybe 100 years into this, and spending all of this money for what he can't see and what he can't prove. Amen? How many of y'all are just like, man, I just want to be Noah? Yeah, on the backside, maybe we're like, yeah, sign me up. But can you imagine maybe the battles that were going on, the questions that were going on? Can you imagine how the enemy might have tried to attack him as he tried to do this? So it took time, it took resources, and it was going to take a lot of skill. The Bible, you know, just doesn't give us all the details. I wish it would tell us a little more sometimes of what it does, but it doesn't tell us what Noah did for a living. But apparently he had some sort of building skills, and that he had some ability. And Brother Houston's a carpenter, and excellent carpenter. I would call him a master carpenter. He just knows it. He does it. He could do it in his sleep. And he and his guys that he worked with have been working together so long, they just know each other's signals. They know each other's groans. they just know each other. They know what to do, right? And they can just do it. Some people today, they'll call themselves a builder because they built a doghouse that's leaning and tilting. It's not a builder. I think Noah probably had better abilities than that, right? So he had some level, but he had to apply his skills to this. It wasn't just, folks, do you realize what all's going on in the structure of this building? What's behind these walls? Do y'all know what's behind this wall? Do y'all know what's behind that wall? Behind that sheetrock, what's behind it? I'm gonna give you a hard time. Behind that sheetrock is block. This was a block building, all right? But behind that sheetrock is 1x2s or 1x4s that are screwed to the block so they could put sheetrock on. And then on the other side of that, because of building codes at the time this was built, and then you had all of these fire codes, yeah. And so there is like at least 2 sheets of sheetrock, 5/8 sheetrock on the other side of this that are furred out, 2 sheets of sheetrock on the other side of that, right? And this is like a 6-hour firewall or 8-hour firewall, which I don't understand, because like the fire station is right over there, and I don't think on their worst day it would take them 6 hours to get here, not even 6 minutes. So there's a lot going on. Why did I say that? Because when you think, oh, it's just building an ark, you know, we just read these stories. Folks, there's a lot that's going on. It costs a lot. It took a lot of time. It took some talent. You had to put it together. You didn't just prop it up, you know. These beams are heavy. This is a massive ship. It's got to hold together. All these things have to work together. It's got to be applied, and this has got to support that, and this has got to support that. I mean, after all, our lives are in stake. Amen. And so here we are, this whole thing, the building of the ark required an incredible amount of investment, right? Time, resources, talent, right? All those things. And so I say that to say this, you know what? Just like God showed Noah the future, he's shown us the future. And now it's up to us to be prepared. And there ought to be a real sense of holy fear and awe, right? How many of you know that Jesus, that we're going to come and we're going to be meeting the Lord soon one way or another? Do you believe that? One way or another, we're going to be meeting the Lord. And so are we moved with godly fear? Are you moved with godly fear? I want you to ask yourself that question. And like Noah was moved with holy fear, he was moved. It stirred his emotions. It was deep within him and caused him to act. Are you moved with godly fear? Is there fear in the sense of alarm, all right? As an alarm, it's like on the inside, there's this internal alarm that's going off and that's saying, you got to do something and you got to do something now. And so he was driven by that. And so we're pointing to the fact that, folks, now we're applying this personally. What Noah did, his example, remember? It's an early example for latter days. And here we are in this same position awaiting the coming of the Lord. And so now, in the same way that Noah invested in building that ark, how many of you know that you and I must also invest in the faith? Are you investing in the faith? Am I promoting and pointing to faith in Jesus Christ? Am I supporting and encouraging those who are already in the faith that they keep going? Did you know that the whole book of Hebrews was written? It was written to people who were being tempted to fall away from the faith and apostatize and walk away from God. And so this book was written to encourage them, to say, hang in there, you can do this, right? To keep trusting in God. And so what is our investment? Are we making the necessary sacrificial investments for what's about to happen? Folks, this thing's about to wrap up. Are we ready for the coming of the Lord? Are we investing? How much time? And that's where we go back to and talk to. I mentioned earlier, as you were talking with the kids, Brother Dan, I mentioned that statistic and how that we don't have to be a statistic. But here's where it's at. Listen, if we don't begin to take this seriously, which is proven, evidenced by a serious investment of our time, of our resources, of the talent we have, then are we really living with a holy sense of fear and awe of what God is about to do? So where am I? That means this is a good reflection, isn't it? For us to go, wait, how am I spending my time? And sometimes we're walking away from things that are essential to our spiritual life. And not investing that time or the resources. It takes resources. It took resources to do the ark. It takes resources. I mean, you know, it takes a lot for this church to do ministry. I'm going to blow your mind. I didn't mean this morning. We were talking the other day. Did you know that just the insurance, health insurance for the pastoral staff that you love? You love like crazy. Amen. Did you know just insurance for the pastoral staff and insurance for our facilities? Do you have any idea just what that cost is? A little over, you said 30? Three times that. Over $90,000. We can't do it. That's just insurance, folks. Not to mention everything else goes on. So do you think that your faithfulness in giving and tithing matters? So you better believe it. But you're investing. You're not. It's about investing. Why? Because you care about the children, you care about the youth, you care about families, you care about the community, you care about getting missions work out, amen? You're doing that, and it takes a lot. But guess what? It doesn't compare to what Noah was doing. But God's going to provide, and I don't know how he does it, but supernaturally, as we surrender these things to him, God does it. He makes it enough. He makes our talent enough, because you and I, we don't have enough talent in ourselves, right? The weapons we fight with are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And so God uses these things, multiplies them, anoints them. That's why you and I need the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit, because the work we're called to do is so vital, so important. It's eternal. Lives are at stake. Families are at stake. Futures are at stake. And we're joining God in building futures. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. So, faith, fear, family. I'll wrap this up. We got some exciting news this morning. And that is, for one thing, I don't think they're here because Garrett and Kirby aren't here, are they? Because they just had a new baby girl, but I see a new grandma and grandpa here. Why don't y'all stand? Come on, stand, new grandma and grandpa. Great grandma, right? Who is this? I'm sorry, I couldn't see the light. All right, grandparents here, congratulations, amen. And so I'm gonna let Jeremy do this. I never expected these words to come out of Jeremy Bradshaw's mouth. Precious. He's just like a manly man, and to say the word precious, that's like awesome. You moved me. So Jeremy, I'm gonna let you say what's this baby girl's name. And how much did she weigh? How tall is she? I'm going to give you the privilege. Yeah. She's precious. Amen. Come on. Give a hand. Isn't that great? Praise God. He's beaming. And he ought to be. She's a cutie. You do, grandparents. God bless you. My word. That's fantastic. So they're there. They won't sleep anymore, but she's precious. She'll be all right. She's going to do good. And that's not all. I mean, we had somebody just move into the community here, and as beautiful as East Tennessee was, he just couldn't resist. He had to come here and follow his lovely wife, and just getting settled here. And that's Micah and Mackenzie. And guess what? Micah, what's happening? Mackenzie, what's happening? They're having a baby. Amen. All right, fantastic. That's so great. We got another grandma and grandpa about to be already, right? I mean, we believe in the children, that they're already there. We believe they're already parents. Amen. We're speaking to this child. We're praying for this child, right? Because this is life. And so we celebrate life. Praise God. Well, we're excited for you. But let me say this, and if Garrett's here, I'll tell him. So, Jeremy, I'll tell you as a grandfather, and along with the two grandmothers here, and I'll speak to you, Micah, as the head of your house. You know what's coming, don't you? Jesus is coming. And you have a family. You have a couple babies that need saving. A lot's on the line. Amen? We're not born saved. We're born lost. We're born sinners. Now, we know that a child has to reach the age of accountability. We understand that. But somewhere there, they're going to come to that age where they're going to have to choose where they're going to continue, right, in that fallen nature, or they're going to say, I realize I need two things. I need that I'm a sinner, I realize that, and I need a Savior. And they're going to have to come to that point, and you're going to need to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Amen? So there's a lot of lines. It really brings it home when we have kids. A lot of things change. We really mature fast when kids are on the line, and we've got responsibility, more responsibility even than caring for our spouse, right? And so we see that. And so there's family at stake. And remember, it's your present faith that's going to make a difference for the future. Your investment. And I know the world is going to laugh at you. They're going to mock you just like they did Noah, because what he was doing was insanely ridiculous. And many will say the same thing about you and me. That's insane. Why do you spend all this time? Why do you go to church all the time? Why do you worship? Why do you pray? Why do you give so much of your money to the church and help ministry? Why do you do that? Why do you use your talent to go do these types of things? You know you could make so much money if you use your talent doing other things. Why are you doing that? It doesn't make any sense to them. But guess what? Because we have favor with God, because we've accepted God's grace and mercy, God has shown us things that the world hasn't seen. We know things that they don't know. We've been warned about things to come, and therefore we know that it's time to get down to business and build a, so to speak, spiritual ark for our family. Amen. So there's a lot happening. And I want to say this, that Noah wasn't, it was only Noah and his family that went aboard the ark, but I want to tell you, Noah wasn't concerned only about his family. He wasn't concerned only about his wife. He wasn't concerned only about his kids and their spouses. Because the entire time the ark was being built, Noah was out there preaching. The Bible says, 2 Peter 2:5, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And I believe in all my heart that if enough people would have came and repented and listened to Noah's message, God would have said, you know what, I'm going to call this off. You say, Pastor, that's ridiculous. No, he did it before. You remember the nation by the name of Nineveh? They were on the edge and the threshold of destruction, but because they heeded Jonah's call, that they repented and they bowed in sackcloth and ashes, repented before the Lord, and God called the whole thing off. Friend, because we've got a merciful, gracious God. It doesn't delight him to bring judgment. It delights him to bring blessing upon us. But we just got to align with him. Amen. So Noah cared about the whole, and he was preaching it, but nobody listens. And so, but folks, here's what we have opportunity as brothers and sisters in the Lord to preach this message of hope and preach about the way. And just like in Noah's day, there's only one way of salvation. There weren't multiple ways to escape the flood. There was one way. There was one ark. And just like there's one way, there's only one door. And today there's only one door. And what is that door? Jesus Christ. There's one way, one door, and that's it. And just like in Noah's day, sometime soon, God is going to come and he's going to shut the door. And it's over. Help us. So Micah, it's just gotten more serious. Jeremy, it's gotten more serious, right? It was just as serious before, but we're seeing it. There's a lot on the line. And how many know we see those sweet babies there? Can I tell you? Because they belong to us. I mean, they're so precious. Amen. They're just the greatest thing. The most beautiful, smartest, brightest kids in all the world and all that, right? We all say that, right? How many know? All the people in our community feel the same way about their little babies. There's a lot on the line. And Jesus gave his life for every one of them. We're building futures. And so, church, whatever you do, every investment you make into the kingdom of God, or it's investments in your home, in the spiritual life at your house, it's a spiritual life of us together as a collective body. Whatever you're doing by investing is making an incredible difference. Right? The world thought Noah was ridiculous. But he and his family were saved. They were safe. And the rest perished in their unbelief. And here's the thing. God doesn't want anyone to perish. And that's why it says that he's waiting patiently, because that's his heart. And so, church, let's invest. And I'm going to tell you, every one of us here has the ability to communicate, to share, that we're able to carry on relationship. Our faith matters. What we do and our investment matters into our friends, into our family. And I tell you what, I believe God to turn the tide on those statistics. I pray and believe God for a move from heaven and for a spiritual awakening that when we, if Jesus tarries and we look for this, and we look at this kind of chart again, and we look at it 5 or 7 years down the road, I pray that it's been reduced, you know, to 20%. That they're going, because listen, the world's after you, the enemy's after you, but friends, listen, go after God. Young people, get grounded, all right? Dive in. Take in everything Pastor Chase is giving you. Take in everything I'm pouring into you. You know, I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching. You're part of this body. You are the church. There is, let me say, there is no segments. There are no segments in the church. We're one church. There's not a, we talk about kids' church service. We say kids' church, we're talking about a service. But there's not a kids' church. There's not a youth church. There's not a seniors' church. We're just the church. Amen? Equally. And so, friends, let's do it. And grandmas and grandpas, listen. Man, like I said, there's no retirement. Let's go after it. And I tell you, you got more to offer today. Maybe not as much energy, but you got more of the real stuff to offer today than what you have at any other point in your life. Let it flow out of you. Amen? Let's stand together.